But I always knew in the back of my mind, I did want to freelance. Like I knew always when I worked at any company that I always wanted to end result work for myself. And I think it's mostly because of the limitless like opportunities that, you know, with freelancing and you can really work with so many different companies all over the world. And actually one of the companies I worked with was in China, and I got to like meet people I would never have met, you know, and talk to people and learn about how packaging and design works in China and how, you know, all those things. And that was fascinating. And
you're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Balbert Marketing LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to Rochester Business Connections on the Real Business Connections Network. I am here with Madison Bracalia. Madison, what's happening? How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing today, Ben?
I'm good. I'm so excited to talk to you because, you're helping host an event that I'm speaking at. So this is going to be probably self-promotional, but I'm going to do my best not to talk about me. I want to learn about freelancing and what you do and this event you're putting on. So to get started, you are a professional freelancer. You are the studio owner and art director at Rosello Studio. Tell me a little bit about what you do at Rosello Studio, Madison.
So it started actually as a side project many years ago. So I would say right after I graduated college from, I did go to college for graphic design. And then right after that, I started it just on the side to, you know, kind of, I was just always curious, like for the idea of freelancing. And I just kind of, you know, would do like little graphics for people, like some business cards here and there, just started really small while I was working. And I really did feel that when I did work for people in the beginning, it was so helpful for me to learn just the ins and outs of, business and how to operate, even like the startups I worked at, just very basic things that I didn't get in college education because it was very more art and design and it really was not business at all. And so when I would work for other people, I got to learn so much about like how to run a business and how to just the ins and outs of it and why design is important. And especially too, because when I first started, I thought it was all about how it looked and not about the function and why we do what we do. So I learned so much, and then I continued doing on the side. And then actually, like many people, because of COVID, I went full time for myself. I was like, okay, here's the time. I'm going to start it and then start working full time. And now it's gone to a full service creative studio. So we specialize in branding and packaging specifically for sustainable companies. Kind of a mouthful, but that is in a nutshell what I do. So it's very focused on creative only. It's not a marketing agency. So that's a good distinction, I would say. Not to get into all like the marketing stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Creative. And so it's really like a very specialized studio, and I do that now full time, and it's amazing.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
One confusion, explain sustainable companies. What does that mean?
Yeah. So it's for companies that value like around being eco-friendly. So companies that want to make sure, especially with packaging. So a lot of, you know, companies may do something they don't know, and it's just wasteful. Like certain things when you get in the mail, they're maybe using some products that just are like a lot of plastic heavy or excess plastic or a lot of, just extra packaging that they didn't even need to begin with. And so like connecting people with eco-friendly options, working with manufacturers that supply those things, and also just recommending some great solutions for people that are still eco-friendly, but also, you know, really beautiful and really, you know, artisan in higher quality. Because I think a lot of people think, when they think eco-friendly, like just brown, you know, like that craft, like brown, and like, it's all the same thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think, you know, a lot of people don't realize, like, you can do the most beautiful artisan, like, design and packaging with things that you would never think, you know, or they don't maybe look at. So things like that, but then also just visual branding and the strategy behind that, and how, when you look at something, you can just tell, oh, okay, I get what they are. I understand, like, what kind of a business they are, that they touch in on, you know, eco-friendly or sustainability or health, a lot of health and wellness I work with. And then of course, also like a whole freelancing type of businesses as well. So
So
I split between both, which is a weird, like, kind of niche, but it more so specializes with sustainable companies.
Sustainable companies. And yes, it is very visual. So guys, go to the web. What is the website?
Oh, it's Rosella. So Rosella
studio.com.
Rosellastudio.com.
Rosellastudio.com. And beautiful work. It's a very visual company, right? So go to the website, see what she does. There's only so much we can explain over an audio for something that is just like such a visual experience. And you mentioned that you went off on your own during COVID, but you were kind of part-time as a freelancer for quite some time before you did that, right? Tell me a little bit about that freelance journey, you know, starting your company on the side. And then obviously, you know, I want to hear about that moment where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go full time. But how'd you get your start as a freelancer?
So initially, I didn't like my first job. Like, I think most people probably could say that. Yes. I didn't love it.
I've hardly ever met a person that can say that at some point in their life. So
exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
So so then that kind of got me thinking, like, what else is out there? What else could I do? Especially too in, you know, Rochester, it's not like New York City where there's like a design studio and like artisan design studios everywhere you look, you know, it's a little bit more rare. And so the job market can be a little bit more competitive and more, harder to get into an agency right off the bat in Rochester. So I started kind of looking around what else is out there, what's new. And that kind of led me to seeing, you know, especially through social media and seeing what other designers are doing and what other companies are working for. And they don't even then, back then, people were still doing like remote work with design. So it kind of got me thinking, like, there's a million opportunities out there. And I feel like I would just limit myself if I didn't try, at least try. But I did try initially and failed when I first started as a freelancer. And so that's why I always wanted to make sure that I was working and learning and soaking everything I could. But I always knew in the back of my mind, I did want to freelance. Like, I knew always when I worked at any company that I always wanted to end result work for myself. And I think it's mostly because of the limitless, like, opportunities that, you know, with freelancing and you can really work with so many different companies all over the world. And actually one of the companies I worked with was in China, and I got to like meet people I would never have met, you know, and talk to people and learn about how packaging and design works in China and how, you know, all those things. And that was fascinating. And I love learning different, I love travel and I love learning learning about different places and learning about like what design trends are going on in other places of the world. And so that really like always was in the back of my mind, like a burning, like, oh, I just have to do it. But I did try. And that was what initially after the first job, I did try to freelance. And I was so bad because I didn't have, I didn't have a lot of the resources that there are now. And I didn't know really anything about it, or like being a business owner, or just even like the basics of like accounting and like how to invoice and like just the most basic things. And unfortunately, it was kind of a dead giveaway that I wasn't very knowledgeable in the area. So I also didn't have a lot of boundaries, and I was working for free. You know, I was working for very cheap, very free, and it was not sustainable. And there was no way I could make a career out of it the way that I was operating. And I knew at that point, I still needed to learn. I wanted to, you know, work and, you know, work for, you know, regular 9 to 5 and really soak in and learn a lot more before going on my own, because I was just so naive at that point. But it still always was like a burning thing. And everything that I was doing while I was working at other companies, I was like always making a note like, oh, okay, well, when I freelance one day, when I work for myself one day, I'll make sure to do this or not do this, or, you know, things like that. So, so that's kind of the background of it. And then, so I was working at an agency at the time, and then it was COVID, and, you know, just initially with COVID, and I mean, everyone remembers that, like, that March 2020, that time, like how everyone was feeling and how scary everything was and how unknown. And, you know, even like with all the jobs, we're all scared we're going to lose our jobs or, you know, be fired any second. And it was scary. And everyone was feeling that way. Not just like where I work, just in general, it was just a scary feeling. And that never left, like that fear of unknown and not feeling like I had control of my own finances and life and like what was going to happen. And that was a very scary feeling. And I didn't like it. I didn't like that feeling of like not having the, like, you know, control. And so I really started doing more on the side. That's when I really was like, okay, I'm going to do a lot more on the side. And I did. And it was, I think that like that worry and that like fear almost like pushed me to be more, you know, disciplined and have more boundaries, because it was like more skin in the game at that point. It was like, I have to do this. Like I have to do it. I have to make it work. And I'm not saying it was because like I felt as if my job was unstable. Not that it was, but I had that feeling. Mm-hmm. And so then it became really great. And I was getting, you know, a lot of work on the side, and it was doing really well. And then I had people reaching out to me to like, for internship opportunities and, you know, things like that. And it was just kind of for me a sign, to go for it. And, you know, I had enough on the side that I would say I have enough to start with. So I might as well start with it and run with it. And actually that was right when I, got the client in China for the packaging company, and that was, or the packaging job. And that was amazing. And it made me realize like that is such a niche right now, like especially packaging and, visual branding and strategy within it, you know, that whole umbrella. I was like, that's very specialized. It's a niche. And, especially adding in like certain, like as artisan style and sustainability, it is very specialized. And I was like, there's, you know, that's a great opportunity. And I got to run with it. There was no other option at that point. And, I was like, okay, now's the time. And so it was October. So yeah, it was from that March, 2020, I started feeling that way. And then by that October, that was when I went full time for myself. Love it.
And, you know, you're off and running. We're happy you did. You go off full time. What did it feel like maybe that first week where you realized that you weren't going to get a paycheck that week and you were officially on your own? Were you afraid? Were you excited? Were you optimistic? Were you worried? How did that moment feel?
The beginning of that journey, man, there are just, it's like, the highs and lows, feast and famine. Like that is like the biggest way I would describe it in the beginning. And it's actually funny because that one job I had was huge. It was a huge job. It was great money. It was amazing. And I'm like, oh, this is easy. Like naive me, like, oh, this is easy. I'll just keep getting jobs like this and I'll be set. And I realized, nope, that's not that easy to consistently get like those types of clients and those types of big jobs. Like you have to really, really, really work at it, you know, put yourself out there, find the right way of marketing yourself, find the right audience. You know, there's so much work around it aside from just your day-to-day like design work or just day-to-day, you know, branding, things like that. There's so much around it. And that was hard. That was challenging. And then a lot of like the rejection and like, you know, being like, no, you know, you're, or like ghosting, or you send proposals out, like send a bunch of proposals out and then they ghost after you spent like weeks and hours and all this. Yes. Stuff, and then they ghost and you're like, oh my gosh. Like,
not to mention all the time you spent practicing your craft and honing it and building a brand and becoming an expert. And all you did is send a proposal and you put time and effort and then Crickets.
Crickets. Yep. Exactly. And that was very daunting in the beginning. And I remember that so in October I started, and that March, I was putting out a lot of proposals, and it like almost every single one of them, most of them, I was just getting ghosted. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, this is crazy. And so at that point, I was not getting the work that I wanted to get. Like, I was having my like stable retainers and like the basic things, but not anything, you know, that great. And I was just so nervous. I was worried. And I really started to take that time to learn about how to streamline things, like how to make things faster. Do not spend a lot of time on proposals. And like, I was customizing every single one and like spending 6 hours on one proposal. And so I started learning how to streamline those processes, how to streamline an onboarding process. I think was one of the things I'm the most proud of that I've done successfully, but also like knowing when people are shopping around and learning the red flags and being aware of certain things that people say in the industry that like are just kind of dead giveaways to me if you're like, you're not serious, and I can tell. But still, not saying I wouldn't like still put the effort and work in and, you know, proposals, of course, yes, but like just being more aware. Because when I first started, I was giving everybody like all the time in the world, you know, initially. And so, of course, when they would ghost, it was like, oh, what a terrible. And then now it's like, you know, it is what it is. It's part of the job. It's a completely different, you know, mindset that changed.
It is part of the job. And this is a whole workshop that we can't talk about today. But I'm like, oh, my gosh, I tailor make every single proposal, and I probably spend a lot of time on it. So everyone needs to learn how to streamline. They need to learn how to see the red flags. They need vetting clients, so you're working with the right people. Without giving away all the secret sauce, what are one or a couple red flags that come to mind of things that you're like, I actually don't know if this is going to be a good client partnership for me?
So there, I had a couple opportunities where the company kept reaching out and being like, we need something last minute, or like, we want to do something with you last minute. And then I would like supply them with their information, and then they wouldn't respond. And then they would reach out again. And then again, it was like the same patterns.
Yes.
So a lot of like take, and no, you know, reciprocation at all. So that is like a very, you know, basic one. But then also just like, you could tell when people are shopping around for different options and when they have a lot of different people lined up to like, you know, review proposals with. And it's just, it's certain of the, like certain questions they ask, like it's more emphasis on not who you are, or what you do, or what you bring to the table, but like, what's the price? You know, how long will this take you? And it's just focusing on those things and only those things. I kid you not, most of the time, those are the people that shop around. So it almost always happened that way, because you know what, when people work with you, they're working with you. They're working with what you bring to the table and what you specialize in and what your talents are. And so when people don't really see that, they're just looking for the quickest, cheapest option. Usually, that's what I found.
Price shopping. And so I've done this, and I'll use a car as an example. So I had the cheapest car you can ever imagine. It wasn't in good shape. And thank God I did not get hurt, but the tires were bad and the alignment was bad. So I swung through the highway. I hit the guardrail. I swung across the highway to the other side and smashed my car and totaled it. Somehow did not get hurt at all, but in theory could have got really hurt or died in that scenario. And it's tough because I was poor and I bought the car I could afford. But when it comes to like your car, the car you drive, or building a church or a home or anything sustainable in long term, do you really want the cheapest bargain? Do you really want to know that every single item used to create this was the lowest quality, cheapest possible? Like,
exactly. That is always so scary to me. Like, why is this looking for cheap? Like, just because it and the thing, especially when it comes to marketing and design, you get what you pay for, 100%. I mean, there is no other way about it. It's like the fast, cheap, and good. You can only pick two. You can't have all three. It's like that mentality. Like, people are out there shopping and looking for all three. And those are always like those are red flags. I'll tell you right now, that's a very big red flag for anyone starting out.
So to sidestep a little bit, so you are helping, so Buffalo, wait, Freelance Buffalo and Beyond.
Yes.
You're the main coordinator for the Rochester portion. And I know a big mission of Freelance Buffalo and Beyond is to build community of freelancers. And I want to talk about that because I know personally I'm a sole proprietor. I'm kind of a freelancer. I run my own business as well. And I spend a lot of my day sitting in this very chair on this computer in this room where I'm using a green screen, but I hang out on my bed a lot and I work on my bed. There's not really much community building. I mean, I can do it online, but the in-person feel of going and being part of a team and working with different departments, I don't have that luxury, and that's not a part of my daily life. So how does a freelancer that feels like they're stuck at home or has no one to talk to, how do you blend the building a community and socializing and networking with freelancing? What have you found works best?
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you brought that up because that was for me my number one reason I really wanted to do this because
yes.
Since that October, working for myself, I literally just work at home in my little makeshift office that I created, and I'm by myself all the time. And it is, I would say that is probably one of my number one negative things about, you know, working for myself is just being alone and just, you know, not having the collaboration that I used to have in past jobs and like, you know, just talking with people on a daily basis and hearing about like, oh, what'd you do last weekend? Or, you know, like everybody has such wonderful memories with coworkers and, you know, made great friends from coworkers. And I lost all that from working for myself. And that was hard, but also too, like, I love hearing other people's ideas and collaborating, and it helps me to be better too.
Right.
And Marie, who is a director of Freelance Buffalo and Beyond, her and I are good friends. And so she was always like somebody that I would, you know, go back and forth with and share ideas with. And when she started Freelance Buffalo and Beyond and then asked me to do the Rochester chapter of it. And I was like, yes, I want to make something in Rochester for people to go to and like and meet, network and meet other people that are out there. Cause you're not all alone. I know it seems like you are, but you're not. And there's a lot out there, but then also not only just that week long event, but it's a community that we're going to be building that is going to go beyond that. And like weekly meetings and lots of resources. And like I said about the onboarding and streamlining, those are things that, you know, we'll be teaching and we'll be giving resources so that people can do those things. So things like that, really, it's just creating what isn't currently there. And that's really like the big mission behind Freelance Rochester is to create this network and community of people that are all like, you know, working at home in their office and just, you know, even it doesn't even have to be just freelancers, just people who work at home because it's growing. Mm-hmm. You know, like a lot of people are feeling this way.
Yeah, working from home. So Freelance Rochester is building that community.
Yes.
A lot of my listeners aren't just in Rochester or Buffalo, but listen in on just the why behind this all, because every city, at least major cities, most of them have co-working spaces, right? Tell me a little bit about what a co-working space is and the value of that, no matter what city, whether you're in Rochester or Buffalo.
Yeah, co-working is huge. I used to go to a co-working. I live very far away from like most things in Rochester.
Okay.
So for me, I was going to a co-working space that was very, very far from where I lived. And it just didn't make sense after a point with like spending the gas money and all that. So I stopped going because of location only. And it just, I don't know, but maybe that wasn't the best move because when I did do co-working, I started making friends again. I started, you know, meeting people who had the most interesting careers. Like, you know, I was working with a scientist who worked from home or in the co-working space and someone else who worked for a crypto company. And back when it was like, just like becoming a thing. And I don't know, it was just fascinating hearing just different walks of life and different people, what they do, all brought together in a community space And then also co-working spaces are great because they give you those resources and opportunities and like, you know, even like little events and things like that. And we actually have two co-working spaces that are going to, that are hosting for this event and that are being a part of it. Port 100, part of Metro Collective, and then also Spot Co-work. So both those locations were very kind and, you know, are letting us have the space to, you know, have these events and to be able to do these things in the future, which we're very grateful for. We're very excited about. And I'm so happy that we have these co-working spaces in Rochester. And I want, you know, I think if you haven't already, check out your, you know, co-working space in the area, because it's a great tool to utilize.
It is. And if you come to the event, that'll be an opportunity to check out the space as well.
Yes.
I wrote down the dates, April 18 to 22. So
yes.
It's a week long event. Well, tell us a little bit about the event. So it's a week long event. What should someone who wants to attend, whether in Rochester, Buffalo, or Erie, is it? Rochester, Buffalo, or Erie, all the New Yorkers, you need to come, break the 9 to 5, come hang out. What should they expect from these events?
Yeah, so this is actually, it's exciting. This is Rochester's very first freelance week. And
wow.
Buffalo's been doing it for a bit, but this is Rochester's first. So this is really exciting, and it's going to continue from here. But what to expect is, so the first day, like what we mentioned with co-working, actually, Spot Co-work is having an open co-working day. So any of the ticket holders or the attendees or speakers or anyone involved has access that entire day to go and work there for free. You can just try it out to see. And then we also have a similar thing throughout the week. Each space that we're going to be hosting, they are going to be doing an open co-working for portions of the days, because, you know, most of the day will be with speakers. But so that's one of the things, but then also just incredible speakers from mostly Rochester, and then a couple from Buffalo. And we actually have on Friday, which is super exciting, we have the president of the freelance union coming and speaking on the panel, and he's incredible.
What?
He's a wonderful person, and he has so much insight on freelance, and his whole mission is just to, you know, great opportunities and networking for freelancers, but on a national level. So we're really excited about that.
Is that here in the Rochester?
No, it's on the closing day of Buffalo. So
okay. That's part of like the whole party closing events in Buffalo.
Yes. Yep. So right before that, like closing party will be
yes.
That panel. And then before that is again, another open co-working. It's called the Innovation Center in Buffalo. So that will be where all the open co-working is. And we strongly encourage, I know it's, you know, an hour away, but we do encourage all the Rochester people to go, because it's mm-hmm. going to be an amazing, you know, panel and closing party.
Well, listen, guys, I'm going to be going to Buffalo. I don't have plans yet as of the time this coming out, but I'm going to be moving quickly on making plans. So if anybody wants to carpool, if they want to get an Airbnb together, there's going to be live music and the whole shabam in the Buffalo closing party. So I will be at the closing party. So if anyone wants to hang out, and honestly, I'm not speaking, I'm just going to chill, maybe have a drink or two and have fun. So I want to encourage people to take me up on that if they want to go to Buffalo and hang out. What are some of the things we have going on in Rochester?
Yeah. So in Rochester, so like I said, the first day will be an open co-working day at Spot. And then the second day will be at Sibley Square and with the Mercantile on Main, the restaurant there. So Sibley Square will be hosting the first speaker day. And then we have several speakers throughout the day. And then from Accounting 101, like basic accounting to learn as a freelancer, just the little things you need to learn. And then you, of course, will be that day speaking on all things networking.
Tuesday, 2:30.
Yes.
Tuesday at 2:30 is me, April 19th. And yeah, I'll be talking about networking as someone who learned how to do it in a virtual world. So
yeah, I know. And of course, all this is in person.
Yes.
I know a lot of people ask that because it's kind of like a rare thing now. But yes, it is all in person. Lots of people to connect to, lots of people to meet. And we also will be having our kickoff happy hour on that Tuesday. So I want everyone to go to that. It'll be fun. It's at Native Rochester. I don't know. It's right downtown, Native.
Yes.
So that will be right after the last speaker. I don't know if you are the last speaker.
I don't think I am.
You are not. Oh, no, you are. You're the last speaker. So right after your session, we'll be doing the happy hour. And then,
awesome.
Yeah.
And makes life easy for me.
Yeah, I know. And then there's also going to be a luncheon that same day with sponsored by the Alzheimer's Association, which is actually our charity for the organization. So there's also a lot of ways to donate to the Alzheimer's Association through our website and through a lot of our marketing materials and social media. But they'll be hosting a luncheon and talking about brain health. So that'll be really interesting. I'm actually really excited about that.
Yeah.
So that's Tuesday. So that will be happening at Sibley Square. And then Wednesday, we will be doing it at Port 100, which is at 350 East Ave in the building on the corner, I believe. I forgot what the building's called, but that's where that will be. And it's open co-working there. It's a great, great space to check out. And then we will be having a whole panel on podcasting with you in it, which is exciting. And then also about niching down. And that's really another really, really important topic for people who are, you know, wanting to scale a business. That's huge. So we'll be talking about that. And then also how to scale. So how to take your freelance business and then bring it to one with employees. So that's that's going to be, I'm really excited for Wednesday. That's going to be very informative, but super, super important to learn as someone interested in starting out. And not only that, but even if you're a seasoned freelancer, just learning. Right. I mean, you're never too far in the game to learn. I mean, you can learn at any point. And I think these people that we have, all the people we have speaking are incredibly, incredibly knowledgeable, wonderful people in our community. And I'm super excited. I'm very excited. And then...
Madison, I took the whole week off, took the entire week off. I'm speaking like a couple slots, right? The rest of the time, I'm there to learn. There's going to be so many brilliant people there, and I'm just humbled to be a part of it because, yeah, I feel like the little guy on the lineup. There's going to be so many great speakers, so please, guys, come and hang out and learn a bunch. Again, I took the whole week off. Let's have fun.
Yes, it's going to be really fun. And then the Thursday is the last day in Rochester, so it's only those 4 days. And then that one's going to be again at Sibley Square with the Mercantile. And then also a little incentive. You get gift cards as an attendee to the Mercantile. So it's like, it's a restaurant that has a lots of different restaurants inside it.
And it's really cool. There's like broth bowls, there's subs, there's a coffee shop.
It's amazing. It's super cool. Just in general, just, you know, checking out Mercantile in Maine, it's really exciting. And then, so you get a gift card for that. All those restaurants. Wow. And then we're going to be having an author and a speaker who actually he talks a lot on volunteering, and that's going to be really cool to listen to. And then also we have another speaker talking about managing client expectations. So that's huge. That's a huge, like, just knowing how to organize yourself and then also with clients. So you and like having boundaries and knowing, you know, just the basics of operating those. And then also, we're going to be having a speaker on storytelling and how storytelling is huge and very important, especially with social media marketing and putting yourself out there primarily online for networking and how your brand is perceived online and how storytelling can really help that. So that is the lineup in a nutshell. And we're confirming our very last speaker will be announcing that tomorrow, actually.
Ooh. It'll be announced by the time this comes out. But the beauty is this link will be in the show notes so people can see the whole schedule. They can plan out. But there really isn't much overlap. It's really you can go and hang out and you don't have to miss much. I know in Buffalo there's a little bit of overlap. In Rochester, is there any overlap? It's pretty much you can do everything.
Oh yeah, you can do everything. So Buffalo, they've been doing it for a lot of years. They're like pretty seasoned with this, so they have a lot of things going. If you see their schedule, so ours is actually really great because it's pretty straightforward, and I think it's accessible for people to go to. And you know, it's just, you know, from certain times every day, you know you have these speakers, and then also We will be giving out lots of resources to our attendees and some, you know, merch and things like that. So that's also a little fun thing to share. But yeah, so it's going to be super exciting. I already touched on Friday, the closing and all of that. So that's going to be huge. So I definitely encourage everyone to attend the whole week. Everyone should attend the whole week. And for people who are concerned about working, there's a lot of opportunity even like before speakers and in between speakers to work at the co-working spaces. And they are going to be all set up for people to go and work. So you can definitely take meetings if you need to. They have also allowed people to go, you know, use some of the quiet rooms if you need a phone call, go on a quick meeting, anything like that. So you can still actually be very productive during that week and work. And that's kind of how we created it, so that we're keeping in mind that not everybody can take a full week off of work.
Yes.
So, you know, we want to encourage people to go and still be able to work throughout the week.
I love it. So if you do go into work, it might be difficult. We won't lose sleep over it, but I encourage you to try to maybe get a few work from home days or take a day or two off. If you do work from home, it sounds like you could come and just work at the co-working space for the day, just as long as that's accessible for you. So I encourage anybody who works from home to come, even if it's just to take a, you know, lunch off to say hi to me and Madison, or come to the happy hour once you close out for the day. I imagine guests can come out to the happy hours, is right, just to come hang.
Oh yeah, yep. Oh, that's welcome to. Yeah, that's welcome to the public. So anyone, I do encourage. Do encourage people to let me know. But yes, it's open, of course.
Got it.
So there's a lot, and the other thing is, you can speak on this, of course, but there's so many networking opportunities with this event, and especially Friday, because we're going to have everyone from Erie, Buffalo, and Rochester coming together.
Right.
So that's going to be incredible networking. And even just like, you know, our happy hour Rochester, and just getting to meet people, and especially now, like where there's not been a ton of in-person events and networking opportunities.
So if you're in Rochester, come to the Rochester. If you're in Buffalo, do Buffalo. If you're in Erie, do Erie. But then the last day, Friday, is going to be the trifecta where everyone comes together. Great networking opportunity. If you aren't in the Rochester area, we love you that you're listening to this. It kind of makes me smile because we're talking about my local community. But what I urge anybody who can't go to the event to do is do a Google search, see what co-working spaces are in your local area, see what kind of freelancing events are in your local area, and maybe there actually is an empty space that you can help fill. And I presume people can reach out to you or Marie just for like quick tips if they want to start, you know, their own space in their neighboring city, right?
Oh, of course. And actually, Marie is, she's opening her own co-working space. So she runs her own co-working space. Also, she does so many things, but that's one of the things that she does. And she is an incredible resource for all things freelancers. Actually, she was my business coach originally. So she's very full of lots of knowledge. And and of course, anyone can email me. And then I don't even think I said the website, but the website is actually freelancebuffaloandbeyond.com. And then to find the Rochester is under programs, and then there's the Rochester program. So that's how you'll find the whole lineup and all the information for the Rochester event. But yes. And then there's also a contact form there. So that goes to Marie and I. So you can, of course, anyone can reach out through that, and we'll contact people directly.
Yes. And come to the event. Or if you can't make it, there's going to be a next year, right? We're just spearheading something way bigger than ourselves long term, right? This is just the beginning.
This is just the beginning. That's what's exciting about it, because it's brand new. And yes, we are going to be doing it every year this time of year. And then, of course, like I said, we will be continuing, you know, with like events throughout the year, like even little ones. And
awesome.
A networking event here and there at some happy hours and things like that. So it doesn't just end on April 22nd. We will be continuing. And that's why I really encourage people to be in this community, because you will meet everybody and then, you know, be able to continue that and continue those relationships.
I'm with you. I left a corporate role. I was working in, you know, a spot with my people, And I had clients in Texas and California and New York City and Minnesota. People in Utah love me. Don't know why. Utah loves me. Very random. So when I went off on my own, I was completely lost and I was completely alone. And I actually really didn't have any friends in the business world. I was a big music, fine arts guy, and all my friends were musicians, but they weren't going to move the needle on my business career. And I only say this to mention that going to an event like this with like-minded people that are community-oriented, that care about the local businesses and want to collaborate and want to help each other and want to network, this is like a gold mine for meeting your new best friend, right? And that's the point. I've met best friends in the past year that I would have never met if it wasn't for this networking thing. It doesn't have to be icky. It doesn't have to be business cards. It can be fun and collaborative, right?
Oh, 100%. And actually, like, that's a big part of this. We don't want it to be stuffy at all, because the point of it is to be welcoming, encouraging people to, well, actually the whole theme of the event is find your freedom with freelance. So the whole point of it is getting people together. Don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, this isn't some stuffy business thing, like, at all. Like, we're here to make friends, here to network, like, here to learn, provide resources, community. So that is actually not, we don't want anything like that. And yeah. And especially too, like when you're working home alone and, you know, a lot of same thing with me, a lot of my friends are actually in the healthcare field and teachers. So when I talk about like freelance things and things like that, they're like, what are you talking about? What are you even going on about?
Yeah.
And especially like ranting and venting about like bad clients. Sometimes you just need somebody who gets it. And like,
sure,
you know, you can just kind of talk with somebody about the frustrations, but yeah, it's definitely a place where you can, you know, have those conversations with people there.
Yeah. I know it's not stuffy and overly suit and tie and overly stiff. And I know it's not, because I would have never been asked to speak, because I don't vibe with that. I want to have fun. I want to collaborate. I'm good to be vulnerable. I want to be real. And looking at the list of speakers, it's like you guys have a curated list of people that are just like that in regards to authenticity and just kind of being themselves, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I actually know a lot of them personally, like for many years, and they're incredible people. Like they're wonderful people who are, you know, just very involved in their community and just, you know, just, they're just great people all around, not even just in business. So I definitely, you know, it's definitely around authenticity and being genuine and talking about things that even just aren't business related, like other aspects about it, because as we all know, it's not just about, you know, doing a task, getting paid. There's just so much more around it, and like being personable and like, you know, things on your character and it just being, you know, storytelling and being genuine. Yeah. Like there's so much about it. And that's why, you know, we wanted to create this environment and have these resources for people. Because like I said, starting out, I was terrible. Like I knew nothing and I would have killed to have these resources now. I mean, there's just so many online too, but it's different in person and like having someone in your community to be able to call up and reach out to, and maybe, you know, grab a coffee with here and there, you know, that's great, better than like finding something on a blog, you know,
it's
so much more valuable.
And I need to get better at storytelling. So I'm excited for that workshop. I'm going to be telling this story years down the road about how I went and I met all these people and I took a storytelling course. And in that course, I had an aha moment. And again, I haven't had the story. I got to create the story, but I'm excited for the storytelling. I'm excited to speak. I'm excited to hang out with you and Marie Rochelle and everyone involved. Did we miss anything? I feel like if we did, it's going to be covered when you show up. You're going to be impressed. But is there anything we should touch on?
I think we covered a lot. I think we covered pretty much the whole thing of the event and the whole, you know, spirit of the event. And yeah, I think covered a lot. And I'm very, very excited to have you speak and see your sessions. I'm super excited.
I'm so excited, and we've covered a lot, but I know we missed something, but that's okay, because everyone who can be there will be there, and we can talk about this all day, but there's something beauty of the osmosis of being surrounded by such great people and actually being there in person. It's going to be cool, Madison. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm super excited. And if anybody wants to be involved or volunteer or anything like that, all are welcomed. And, you know, again, you can just reach out on the contact of the website. And also we're running a few, just as a general thing, like a few tickets are free for volunteers. If anybody wants to volunteer for exchange of a free ticket, that's another little tidbit that I wanted to mention. But yeah, there's a lot going on. Very excited. Oh,
and listen, guys, if you do want to volunteer, imagine this, and I don't know exactly how your volunteer slot will look, but you're at the welcome desk, you're helping things, you're helping run, you are part of the people contributing to the party. If you're a little shy, if you're kind of on the fence, that's a great way to embed yourself in the community without having to be the one walking up and shaking everyone's hand. Since you're a volunteer, just intrinsically, you're going to have that power status and that role as someone helping. So that's one thing I like to do when I'm nervous and I'm shy. I will volunteer because I know that at least I'll know the other volunteers, or maybe I'll work the welcome desk. And it's like, it's fun to volunteer. So if anyone's considering that, I would encourage it. You said there's still a couple slots for volunteering left?
Oh yeah. Yep. So there's, we're going to, I don't know the specific number, but
and,
we're going to.
And Madison, this will come out in a few weeks, so it could slightly change, but yeah.
Either way, if somebody wants to volunteer, I will never, you know.
Not going to turn them down.
Never say no, never turn it down. And, you know, so, I mean, really all are welcome here. So feel free to reach out.
Awesome. I want to do the rapid fire round. This is, again, just to shoot the breeze, short, sweet, either or, fill in the blank questions, no right or wrong answers, just to get to know Madison a little bit better.
Okay.
Let's start with coffee or tea.
Oh, coffee.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Cats or dogs, or you can fill in the blank.
Dogs.
Okay. Are you a morning person?
No, not at all. I'm very much a night person.
Night owl. And okay. Acknowledging we're in Western New York, favorite season?
Fall.
Fall's good.
Yeah.
We'll do like, let's do like just a guilty pleasure, just something that whether it's ice cream or Netflix or a certain show or band, what do you love?
It's funny. The first thing I thought of when you said that actually was like, I love watching the most like trash reality TV. I do not like have to sit and like think after a long day. I just want to watch like just the worst of the worst, like reality TV. That's probably my biggest like guilty pleasure that I think may surprise people because I'm kind of a serious person, but I just love that. It's just, you know, it's fun.
Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I like Selling Sunsets a lot, which is surprising. And then I just love like even just like Too Hot to Handle, those like cheesy reality TV shows, all those things. Those are my guilty pleasure.
Yeah, relax. Stop focusing on work for a moment and just kind of have fun, you know? I love it.
Exactly.
I love it. Awesome. I was going to ask you what's getting you out of bed in the morning, but I feel like this conference is an easy answer. So as an extension of that, is there anything like that you're learning that you're excited about, whether it's a book or a freelance community or virtual training? Just what's lighting you up these days that we can learn from as well?
I mean, I would say like, especially right now when you're asking me, like this event is just like all in my mind. So I'm going to try to think like,
it's the silliest time for me to ask that question. Cause the event's just like engulfing probably most of your reality. We're so close to it, but we're so close. It's going to feel so good when we get there.
Yeah. I'm trying to like, I mean, especially just like deadlines for me really motivates me. I know this sounds not fun, but just like having deadlines from clients really keeps me going and motivates me. That's like my general day to day, but then just also like, I would like just like trips planning, like planning trips in advance, like that. That's like my favorite thing. It's like the number one thing in the world for me.
Well, let's talk about that. Cause I used a term you used offline before we started breaking the 9-to-5. tell me about breaking the 9-to-5 and freelancing and your ability to maybe plan these trips and live on your terms. Like, why do you like to break the 9-to-5 and what can freelancing do to help do that?
Oh my gosh. Oh, there's so many. So like I, when you said like with the morning person or night person, I said, you know, night owl, but yeah, it goes beyond that. I actually, from very young age, I'm an insomniac. So I actually have a very difficult time with having just a general like sleep schedule and like just, you know, basic thing like that. And so when I would work 9-to-5s, I would have the worst brain fog and it would just completely take over my mental health in general, because I was waking up at such early hours after no sleep. And it was a lot. It took a huge toll on my mental health and my physical health. And so working for myself now has completely changed that for me, because I can work within my proper sleep schedule and what works best for me. And also just like breaking that stigma of like hardworking people, successful people are up at 4 a.m. every day and that's how you do it. And that's the only way to do it. And I just couldn't disagree with that more. It's how you utilize your hours. It's how you utilize your time, but it's not what time it is. It's how you're using that time. And so that has been the biggest thing for me personally, is being able to take that control back of my time and what works best for me, because I completely got rid of that brain fog that I had in the past. And also it helps me to be very creative working at night. So that's like a great thing. But then also with traveling, like I can, you know, like my friend last minute asked me to go to a wedding with her in Florida in May. And I was able to, you know, work and clear my schedule. And yes, I'm going to have to do a ton of work before that to catch up, but I can like, you know, navigate things and turn things, you know, maybe extend some things or, you know, whatever it may be, just organize it. And now I can go on a trip kind of last minute and, you know, things like that. It is hard though, because I always find, and maybe you agree, before a trip as a working for yourself, it's a lot that like week before you're leaving, you're like pulling all nighters, like getting stuff done. That's always crazy, but it's still worth it because, you know, you don't have to wait for an approval for like a time request off or anything like that. Right. You know, it's up to you to figure out your time and how you utilize it.
It's crazy, but it's worth it. And it's empowering to be able to kind of control that and make the schedule on your own. It's funny you mentioned the 4 a.m. thing. Everyone's like, wake up earlier. I feel like you don't necessarily have to wake up earlier. You could stay up later. I mean, what's the difference between waking up early and staying up later? But beside that point, I would rather work with someone who over succeeds and overachieves and hits deadlines as best as they can than someone that wakes up at 4 a.m. but does not. So just because you wake up, there's no square peg, round hole, one size fits all. There is no right or wrong. And it sounds like as a freelancer, you get to kind of do what's your right. And since you're still very deadline oriented, you do overachieve, but you get to kind of do it on your own terms. That's pretty badass, right?
It's amazing. Because like when I tell people my work schedule, they're like, you're nuts. And I, you know, it's because I work best at from the time between like 6 until 2 a.m. And that's my usual time I'm working. And then I usually get up at like 9 or 10, which when I tell people that, they're like, they just think, you know, they think like lazy or like, how could you sleep in like that? That's crazy. Sure. I'm working crazy hours into the night, you know, and it's like, why is it so? But usually I'm working about, you know, 8-9 hours every day. And it doesn't even seem like it because I can split it up too throughout the day, like some in the morning and then some at night. And so for me, it's like a dream come true, honestly.
It is. And I love it. People have asked to advertise on this podcast. As of now, I don't do ads. And a lot of what I do, like the podcast, it doesn't really drive a ton of income right off the bat, but I love it. And then what happens is at the end of the day, I'll put my pedal to the metal and I'll actually work from 6 to 12 almost every night. So I'm working like 9-to-5 on networking, podcasting, client work, content, this. And then I'll work 6 to 12. And people are like, how do you work like that? It's like, I only worked from 6 to 12. The whole like podcasting and networking, that was like fun. Like, this is my life. This is my schedule. I love it. That's just me, but I love it.
Exactly. You can create it tailored to exactly what works best for you. And like, cause I'm much more productive at night and much more creative. Like the time it takes me to do something like a task at night, I'm like almost double the speed than I am like in the morning. Hmm. So for me, it optimizes my productivity like by a ton. It's a no-brainer for me, you know? But like when you are working in a very 9-to-5 structure, you do not have that ability to do that. And so for me personally, that was one of my biggest challenges.
So homework, guys, take a note, maybe journal on what you think is best for you, because, you know, Madison and I talked a little bit about ourselves. We're just 2 out of several million/billion really on this earth. So think about what works best for you. And it might not happen overnight, but maybe you need to pivot a little bit to live life on your terms. I'm not saying that you should or shouldn't, but take our examples and figure out, okay, maybe I want to go hybrid, or maybe I want to go full remote, or maybe I don't like being remote. I need to work for an employer that's in person. It's going to be different for everybody, but I think it's kind of like tailoring it based on what you need, right?
Exactly. Like just knowing, you know, yourself and your strengths, even your weaknesses, and working with that, because we all have things we're like really not good at, but then finding a way to navigate through that. Because for me, I really struggled with waking up early heavily. And so now I found a solution to that problem instead of just trying to, you know, everyone say, oh, suck it up, grow up. Like, you know, this is the part of life. But now I found a solution to it, which is, you know, wonderful. It's kind of the best outcome. So yes, knowing yourself is very important.
It's the best. I could just talk to you all day. By now, I'm just shooting the shit and rambling with you. I'm going to let you go. Let's tell the world one more time. One, how to keep in touch with Freelance Buffalo and beyond. And two, you personally in the Rosella studio.
Yes. Yeah, so like I said, the website for Freelance Buffalo, freelancebuffaloandbeyond.com. And then for Freelance Rochester, we have Instagram and Facebook page. The handle is at Freelance Rochester.
I'll put it in the show notes, y'all.
Yes. And then by the time the show comes out, we will also have a URL forwarding to the Rochester program under freelancerochester.com.
Love it.
So that will be out by then. And so that is how to stay in contact with us with that. And then for my website, Rosella, Rosella studio.com. And anyone can feel free to email. My personal email is Madison, my first name, at RosellaStudio.com.
Love it, Madison. Keep up the good work. We'll keep in contact. If anyone wants to reach out to me, I'll introduce you to Madison. Or if you have questions or want to volunteer, reach out to either of us. Let's continue the conversation. And thanks again for coming on the show. I had a ton of fun today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Ben. I'm really excited. I'm excited for the event. I'm excited to have you speak.
Me too. I'm nervous. If anyone wants to see me clam up, I guarantee my content is going to be next level, but I'm going to be clammy and nervous. So come support me. Show me some love. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be so fun. I'm so excited. And thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.